Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of Mitt Romney's speech to the cadets at VMI that was billed as his vision for a new national security strategy. We will speak with Lawrence Korb, who was an Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration and is the author of A New National Security Strategy in an Age of Terrorists, Tyrants, and Weapons of Mass Destruction. Then we'll examine a new report by the IMF warning that the global economic recovery is slowing and that growth rates in 2013 will be less than earlier projections. Dean Baker, the co-director of the Center for Economic Policy Research, joins us to discuss how austerity is slowing growth, particularly in the UK, which the IMF singled out. But nevertheless, Republican deficit hawks keep insisting Americans need a dose of austerity to prevent the country from falling off the fiscal cliff. Then finally, we will look into a lawsuit filed by the Ohio Democratic Party against Murray Energy, whose owner coerced the company's coal miners to appear as a backdrop for a Mitt Romney rally in Ohio. The lawsuit was stimulated by an article in the New Republic, Coal Miners Donor, a Mitt Romney benefactor and his surprisingly generous employees. The author of the article, Alec McGillis, a senior editor at the New Republic, joins us. Joining us now is Lawrence Korb, who is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a senior advisor to the Center for Defense Information. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense from 1981 to 1985 and is the author of A New National Security Strategy in an Age of Terrorists, Tyrants, and Weapons of Mass Destruction. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lawrence Korb.
Good to be with you.
So, what did you make of President, he's not president yet, even though the polls indicate, they indicate he's on a roll, Mitt Romney. What did you make of his speech at VMI, where he was supposed to outline a new vision for national security, but essentially, as far as I could tell, there's not a lot of difference, frankly, between him and President Obama's strategy. So he seemed to be more or less trying to paint Obama as the president who leads from behind without really offering anything different from what Obama's national security policy is.
Well, yeah, in many cases. I mean, for example, you know, he talked about the fact that in Afghanistan, he would keep the 2014 deadline. He criticized Obama for not pushing to keep troops in Iraq, but he didn't say he would. And, you know, Obama had no choice because, Prime Minister Maliki wouldn't give them immunity. He seemed to be indicating that Obama, and he used the term leading from behind, was allowing events to spin out of control in the Middle East without saying what he would do. Would he not want to have a member of the Islamic Brotherhood win the election in Egypt? He talked about the fact that he would sort of, if you will, give aid and comfort to the good guys in Syria. The problem is we don't know who the good guys is, and once you put the equipment in there, you don't know where it's going to end up. And he seemed to indicate that Obama's, quote-unquote, weak policies were responsible for what happened in Libya without mentioning, you know, the fact that basically what happened in Libya was only tangentially connected to Al-Qaeda. I mean, he sort of gave Obama credit for getting bin Laden, but then he said, oh, it was the military and intelligence people, you know, that deserved the credit. So he wasn't that much different, but he was trying to portray the fact that he would be more robust without, you know, telling us what that would do. He said he would have crippling sanctions on Iran. Well, you already got crippling sanctions on Iran.
Well, I understand the critique on the left against President Obama, who has authorized six times as many drone strikes than George W. Bush did against Pakistan, and he's the first American president to authorize the assassination of a U.S. citizen. That's fairly well understood, but so how do you launch an attack on the right against him? I noticed that Obama recently said that, you know, if Romney thinks we should get into more wars, then he owes it to the American people to explain. And we know that he's made bellicose statements about needing to have a tougher stand against Iran and against Syria. But it looks as though he's pivoting away from that now. He seems to be backing off the idea of falling into that trap. And of course, that would be a trap for him in the next presidential debate, surely.
Yes, it would be. I think what happened is, you know, he felt he had to give a foreign policy speech, even though he's been focusing on the economy. So he tried to portray the Democrats as weak, which had been the traditional Republican response. And it just didn't go over at all, because, as you say, Obama's main criticisms come not from the right, but from the left, because I think a lot of people who supported him were surprised when he tripled the number of troops in Afghanistan. And as you say, you know, really stepped up the drone strikes.
So it's pretty clear, though, isn't it, Lawrence Korb, that the American public they don't want any more wars, particularly in Muslim lands.
No, they don't. And, I mean, there's no, you know, as one general told me, he said, if you like Iraq, you'll love Syria, you know, if you want to get in there. And then, of course, you know, Iran is a country of 80 million people. Even if you bomb them, you know, you're going to have to at some point invade them to follow up, because they're not just going to sit still and, you know, take the bombing and do nothing.
So, again, I'm speaking with Lawrence Korb, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a senior advisor to the Center for Defense Information. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense from 1981 to 1985 in the Reagan administration and is the author of A New National Security Strategy in an Age of Terrorists, Tyrants, and Weapons of Mass Destruction. So, you mentioned Syria. He sort of danced around Syria. He said that he would identify and organize those members of the opposition who share our values and ensure they obtain the arms that they need to defeat Assad's tanks, helicopters, and fighter jets. But he did not directly say that his administration would arm the Syrian rebels. So, again, is he just backing away from... Is this just like the first debate where he was a completely different guy from all of the things that he'd been saying on the campaign trail for the last 18 months? In other words, he went after the right wing Tea Party vote, and then suddenly showed up as a moderate, and now he's trying to back away from his earlier statements that he wants to get tough on Iran and tough on Syria.
Yeah, there's no doubt about the fact that he, having won the nomination, does not want to turn off the American people, as you said, who are tired of war. And so he's trying to portray himself as different from Obama. But if you read it closely, it's not that, you know, different. And in fact, to the extent that he is different, it is going to, you know, antagonize a lot of the American people. I mean, you know, the if you will, the factions in Syria that share our values basically are getting arms already from the Arab League and the Saudis. So, and he didn't say he would give them, so I don't know where exactly he would, you know, expect them to come from.
And of course, he said that he would prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons capability and would not hesitate to put more sanctions on Iran. But as you've pointed out, Lawrence Korb, the Iranian economy is in free fall. Its currency has plunged in value as much as 80% against the dollar since the beginning of the year. And we don't know. I mean, this may well be in the next few weeks. Things may. It's clearly changed the calculus. I noticed that Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel is not calling for the military strikes that he's been rattling the saber over. So, you know, that, at least in the case of Netanyahu, seems to the fact that the Iranian economy is in such distress seems to have undercut Netanyahu's argument that the sanctions aren't working, surely.
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, Netanyahu also faces tremendous opposition including from the president of Israel, Peres, as well as, you know, his military and intelligence people who are saying, okay, you bomb, you won't get it all, and you'll create, you know, more problems. And I think the interesting thing, Netanyahu has just called for, you know, elections, which means it's obviously he's not going to do anything in the near term.
So what struck me most in this speech that Romney gave to the Virginia Military Institute about his national security strategy, and of course it's a kind of prelude to the subject matter for the second debate on October the 16th. The thing that I found extraordinary was that Romney said that the size of our Navy is at levels not seen since 1916. Now, what is he talking about?
Well, I think this is something that he got from the Pentagon. Secretary Panetta, who was trying to prevent sequestration, said, if you have the cuts under sequestration, our Navy will be smaller than any time since 1916. A couple of things that are important about that. Actually, it was smaller in 2005 than it was. It's bigger now than it was in 2005. The other is it's bigger than the next 11 navies in the world combined. And, of course, you can't equate a modern, you know, Gerald Ford aircraft carrier with some of the things that you had in 1916. No, I mean, that's just, it's one of those things that, you know, that get people's attention, like, oh, we're going to cut defense $1 trillion. Well, they don't say that's over 10 years and it's going to cut it, you know, from, you know, 6 trillion to 5 trillion. It's not that they're, you know, not going to be spending it. Yeah, I mean, that's where he got that from. And to the people who don't, you know, look very closely, they'll say, oh my goodness, that was before World War One. We don't want to go back there. Well, again, you're not going back. I mean, you've got one aircraft carrier today is as powerful as the entire Navy was in 1916.
And we have 11 aircraft carriers.
That's correct.
And we have the battle groups that go along with them. Then we have submarines, each one of which could wipe out, you know, China or Russia, or all of which could wipe out the entire planet.
That's right. I mean, you know, you have a Trident submarine has 24, you know, missiles on board, each of which has multiple warheads. So you could launch, you know, 250 nuclear weapons from one submarine.
So, again, I'm speaking with Lawrence Korb, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and senior advisor to the Center for Defense Information. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense from 1981 to 1985 in the Reagan administration and is the author of A New National Security Strategy in an Age of Terrorists, Tyrants, and Weapons of Mass Destruction. So, following the speech at VMI that was billed by the Romney campaign as his unveiling his national security strategy and showing how different he is from President Obama, it seems that he fell flat in both areas. But given his performance in the debate, which has been translated into tremendous gains in the poll, and particularly in the swing states, now he's even pulling up in Ohio. So what do you expect, Lawrence Korb, from this second debate? I imagine everybody on the Democratic side has been sending their unsolicited advice to the White House, telling Obama to get his act together.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about the fact that, you know, because Romney did so well and Obama did so badly in the debate that people are taking a second look at Romney. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, the Romney they saw in the debate is not the one that we've seen on the campaign trail, you know, in terms of the positions that he took. So I think you'll probably will see the vice presidential debate this year will be more significant than it has in the past. And, you know, Obama has two more chances, to basically, you know, present his view. It reminds me of, you know, I was in government in the Reagan administration, as you mentioned, and in the first debate with Mondale, I mean, Reagan almost looked like he was senile. I don't know if you remember, he was talking about getting lost on the Pacific Coast Highway, and my goodness, you know, but he came back in the second debate, and then, of course, he won 49 out of 50 states.
Well, but then you can contrast it with the debate against Jimmy Carter, the one and only debate against Jimmy Carter.
That's right.
Where Reagan was way behind in the polls, and suddenly after that debate, he took a lead and won the presidency.
Well, he did, and that's, you know, I mean, if remember, that debate was like just a couple of days before the election. If that were the only debate, I think Obama would be in a lot of trouble. The one thing that's happened since the debate, though, I think will help him is unemployment going below 8%. And of course, that had been one of Romney's lines, you know, 43 months of, unemployment above 8%. So that'll be a little hard to, you know, for him to continue to use that line.
So what's your sense, though, then about the sequestration and the idea that the sky is falling, particularly at the Pentagon? And when my understanding is that if the sequestration goes through, the cuts to the Pentagon will only take it back to where it was in 2007.
That's correct. In real terms, controlling for inflation, yeah. And we'll still have 40% of the world's military expenditures, and the all these companies are not going to have to lay off people because the Pentagon has $90 billion in money that's been authorized but not obligated, so they can reduce that. Plus, our defense companies had 87% of the foreign military sales last year, which was like $66 billion. That's about $150 billion that they can take, you know, the cuts out of there without disturbing any of the existing contracts.
So do you think then that this hard line that Romney's been pursuing in the campaign still resonates, or do you have a sense, as many do, that the American people are war-weary and that they wouldn't mind a cut in defense because they're quite concerned about Social Security and Medicare and other domestic programs that are being threatened?
Oh, yeah, I think the Americans are war-weary. When you tell them how much we spend on defense and what proportion of the world's military expenditures, oh, yeah, they're more than willing. Even Republicans are, you know, when you give them the data. So, no, that the issue is not going to be decided. You know, in other words, people are not going to vote for Romney because they want a more aggressive foreign policy or want to spend $2 trillion more in defense over the next decade. They're going to vote because they don't think that Obama, you know, has a plan to, you know, keep improving the economy or that he's up to the job. And that's why I think it's important in the second and third debates for him to show that, you know, he, you know, has a plan and that we're on the right track.
Well, but he has to. The Obama that shows up on October the 16th has at least got to be an alpha male like Romney was. I mean, Romney was so aggressive and on like a salesman frantically trying to close a deal. And Obama was kind of lackadaisical. And I think a lot of people were concerned that, you know, if you can't stand up to this venture capitalist doing a sales pitch, how can you stand up to Putin? I mean, he's got a man up, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. He really has to, and he has to bring his A game in the next debate, and because Romney kept coming back at him, and I think President Obama was trying to appear presidential, and of course, it came across as weak, and it looked to me like, you know, he kept looking down instead of right into the camera, you know, kind of basic things. And, of course, you know, if you're president, he hadn't debated in quite a while, or Romney has been, you know, doing it, quite a bit.
Sure.
So, anyway, I think he knows now what he has to do. And I have every confidence that I think he'll show in the next two debates that he, you know, he's going to move us in the right direction, and certainly in a better direction than Romney is trying to do.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today, Lawrence Korb.
Okay, good to be with you.
Good to be with you again. Again, I've been speaking with Lawrence Korb, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a senior advisor to the Center for Defense Information. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration from 1981 to 1985 and is the author of A New National Security Strategy in an Age of Terrorists, Tyrants, and Weapons of Mass Destruction.
Come, you masters of war, you that build the big guns, Yeah, that build the death planes. Yeah, that build all the bombs. Yeah, that hide behind walls. Yeah, that hide behind discs. I just don't want...